Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. But there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you. We got some good stuff coming at you straight ahead with our good friend Jim Ostroff, one of the outstanding editors at the Kiplinger Washington Editors, the folks who publish the landmark National Treasure Kiplinger Letter. That's my description of it. I've been knowing about the Kiplinger Letter for decades, and I've been reporting on it with someone from Kiplinger for over a decade. Actually, we're in our 13th year of reporting on what Kiplinger has to say about what's going on in the world these days. Jim has been with us for a lot of that time. Jim Ostroff, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim, and good morning, everyone.
It's good to have you back.
Thank you.
Jim, the first topic right out of the box is this missing element in the recovery. Tell us what it is.
It is certainly confidence.
There's no confidence in the economy right now.
There's almost none anywhere. There is no real...
Can you say malaise, Jim?
Well...
Doesn't this... I mean, seriously, I started asking about this a while back. Isn't this starting to feel like the Clinton years? I mean the Carter years.
Jimmy Carter.
The malaise. I mean, seriously. I mean, I'm not being political. I'm not being partisan. I'm just being somebody who remembered those malaise days of the Carter administration. Folks, that was a real word that people attributed to the Carter administration, isn't it, Jim?
Well, it was at that time, and it was said that was something that one of the factors that led to its defeat. But we'll see. Let's see how we do by next year.
Yeah, that's not a political. I wasn't making any shots.
Right. No, but it is a factor right now for sure, and to just. But right now, with the particular confidence in the economy is lacking, and that people are just not sure overall what's ahead for them as employees, what's ahead for them as business owners and managers, and overall, people are just pulling back, and therefore not making that decision. As much as they did in the past to buy, or of course, so importantly, to hire, that's why. And it's something that feeds on itself.
It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, doesn't it?
It does. And if people, for instance, companies are slow to hire because they're concerned and they don't know. And they laid off a lot of people already. But,
Jim, one of the things I was going to stick in here, this week's poll question on our homepage is about why people are not taking advantage of growth opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And so we asked them that. Tell us if you're not taking advantage of growth opportunities, tell us why. And we asked them, are you worried about the economy in general? 26% so far have said they're worried about the economy in general. 17% said, I can't get financing to fund growth. That means their banker is worried more than they are.
Right.
52% said the government actions, that the actions the government is taking, makes me uncertain about the future. That's the majority. But then the only 4%, though, says they're not experiencing growth. So that tells me that there are a lot of people who are experiencing growth. They see growth opportunities. They're just not taking advantage of it.
Well, yeah.
And Jim, there's this pent-up demand for growth.
But there is. And you might say that's good, but it's not like a lesson in physics, and that you have more and more and more, and suddenly the pressure becomes overwhelming, breaks, and people are we're creating 10 million jobs a year.
It's called missed opportunity.
It's essentially that is it go it, it to a large extent
it, just
it
goes
may
away.
Go away.
Yeah.
And again, these things feed on themselves because there's concern people are not hiring or people are not buying, which leads to more softening.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, as we point out this week, of course, in the job situation, people look at numbers and they say, gosh, here in June and July, look at the numbers go down. Of course, there was the census effect. Many more census workers being, you know, let go now. They were temporary, but they counted as full-time jobs. But also, you know, we have situations here, all right, important, that the expiration of tax credits, which has murdered the new home market.
Right.
July was the worst since it began keeping records.
Exactly. It was the new job, the new home starts, right. or I guess it was the worst since 1963.
That's correct.
The month of July. It's incredible.
Right. Yes.
Hold on to that thought, Jim. We're going to come right back and talk about this some more after these messages. We've got a lot of things to talk about with our good friend Jim Ostroff with the Kiplinger Editors. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
I pretend too much. I'm lonely, but no one can tell.
Little Heartland music bringing us back. That's John Mellencamp. Welcome back. 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for being part of my day and for checking out my website, smallbusinessadvocate.com. We hope you go there. Don't forget to subscribe to my newsletter, check out our blog, and check out our knowledge base, askjim.biz, also the articles, the archives, etc., and the survey. We have a survey on the homepage that you can check out, and I mentioned it a little bit earlier. And when you click your answer, you'll see how the survey is going so far. Jim Ostroff is with us. He's our good friend from the Kiplinger Editors. We're talking about the Kiplinger Letter and what's going on these days in the economy. And it's a lot of uncertainty, a lot of lack of confidence, Jim. And one of the things is from the banks. The banks are still not confident. That poll question I mentioned earlier I can't get financing. 17% of my respondents said they couldn't get financing for a growth opportunity. That means they want to grow, but nobody will help them.
That's right. They likely have the resources and the collateral, but banks are holding tight. And that, of course, is another key restraint on economic growth and expansion. You have companies jumping at the bit to hire, to build, but they need the capital.
But
they
can't
get the capital.
You know, Jim, a couple of things I want to stick in there. Number one, I still know that independent banks are still loaning money. But also, I talked to a guy earlier this week who's Stephen Baum he's a Vistage expert and leader. And he said one of his guys made an acquisition of a few million dollars, and a large bank came through and made the deal.
Mm-hmm.
So I was glad to hear about that. Maybe there's a little bit of you know, a change happening.
Oh, maybe a ray of sunshine.
Yeah, boy, I hope that that's a, right, a, right. a. I was really excited to hear about that.
Right, because we know
it's bad when you're excited to hear about one deal, Jim.
One deal, I know, but anything, but you know, that credit, et cetera, is the lifeblood.
But you know, talk about that pent up demand, Jim. We were saying that it's not like a physics lesson, but Jim, you got companies with trillions of dollars. We got trillions of dollars of cash sitting on the sidelines
where
these companies have on their balance sheet. That money's not making them any money. That cash is probably not making them any money right now because the interest rates are low, et cetera, et cetera. And so they're going to want to deploy that. If we can just get a little bit of confidence in the marketplace, all it takes is one little crack in the dam, and that's a lot of money to hit the economy.
Well, overall, there's $275 billion in what's termed excess liquidity that's on the sidelines now. And yes, you might just say, that like anything, because it is ultimately a matter of confidence. If businesses see, you know, for instance, a competitor or someone in another sector that's respected making an acquisition or doing something very significant,
right,
they may say, hey, me too. Me
exactly.
Too.
That's how it works. Jim, let's move over and talk about retail. What's retail doing these days?
Not much. you know, I mean, and,
same
and
story, it, same song, different story, verse.
Exactly. And you know, in short, I should say, you know, back to school sales up a tad from last year, which you know were at low level. The holiday sales over here coming into the season, you know, they'll be up maybe even 3% from last year. But last Christmas season was a terrible one, so only a little bit better. And
you can't really get too excited about comparing to last year.
No. And you know, the only thing, of course, we look at and say that yes, online sales will continue to grow, and you know, more strongly than overall retail sales from a lower level. But you know, the thing is that particularly with things that people can go quickly and buy, whether it be books or basic apparel,
right.
It's coming on very strongly because it makes sense, and you don't really need to try it out first. And so online is good.
Now here's an interesting thing. E-books, have to be purchased online.
Right, they do.
And that's a good thing. You're saying you guys report that it's really growing like crazy, e-books are.
Well, yeah.
But the thing is an e-book doesn't create the same jobs that a printed book does.
No, it does not.
You know, the printers are not making any money when somebody prints an e-book. So those are jobs, those are products that are being sold that are creating a different kind of a job. It does take a different kind of expertise. I mean, an e-book has to be developed and laid out and produced in a way that looks attractive and is easy to use.
Right.
The application of an e-book that you use, the user interface part of the e-book, has to be done by some employee. And that's a different employee than a printer.
Yeah, and
so this is an example to me. This ebook thing is a classic example of how the economy is changing.
It is, and certainly you might say, you know, sort of standard book publishers of all sorts, whether they're doing novels or textbooks, are extremely concerned because the paper basis of their business literally is eroding.
Well, any print entity.
Right.
You know,
like
the
magazines,
exactly. Newsletters, right?
That's right. Exactly.
I mean, your versions of the Kiplinger letters are growing a lot.
They are,
I'm sure
they are.
So it's something that's you know it's in, and folks, the point to make here is look around you at the way you do business. And what your products are, what your customers are asking for, what are your customers wanting? How are they wanting to use what you sell? You know, the Kiplinger folks, for example, they're not in the printed information business; they're in the information business, right, Jim?
That's right.
If you guys didn't get that, and you'd not gone to online, you'd not produced an electronic newsletter as well as a printed one. You know, you might not be here right now.
It'd be very tough.
Yeah. Hold on to that thought. We're going to take a quick break. Right back with Jim Ostroff. That's Kiplinger.com, by the way. Stay with us. Welcome back. 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks for staying with me. Having a great visit with our good friend Jim Ostroff. He's with the Kiplinger Editors. That's Kiplinger.com. The Kiplinger Letter is their weekly flagship publication. It's a national treasure as far as I'm concerned. And I encourage you to check it out at Kiplinger.com. You can subscribe right there. You can also make a phone call, right, Jim?
Well, yeah, we have a toll-free number, and that's 800-544 0155.
You can also ask about and find out about the two biweekly letters, the tax letter and the agriculture letter, and then also you got a magazine.
Well, yeah, Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
Oh, that's right there at the homepage or also on the phone call there. And don't forget to ask them about that free trial. Jim, we talked about the home sales earlier, and we said that the new housing starts or lowest since 1963, but you guys are also pointing out that you're not expecting much life in that area until year after next.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, Florida's got a 10-year inventory of houses.
That's right, and in other places less, but that's a big drag. Florida and some other states.
Yeah.
So, you know, and not only supply is there. But again, it's a matter of confidence and financing on the building and the purchasing side. So, you know, we don't see very much happening in terms of new home starts
right
next year at all.
Jim, let's move down and talk about this disability thing in terms of business regulations. Do you know much about that?
Well, I should say, you know, that...
Speaking of construction.
Right, that this administration, you know, by a regulation, is going to basically, you know, sort of mandate that do more here, that any time a business facility of any sort is renovated or there is a new facility built that is, you know, open to the public, and that's a very broad definition,
mm-hmm.
very broad. Anything that's open to the public, you know, there will be new standards to accommodate people who have some type of challenges.
Could that get so onerous, Jim, that would make some people say, I don't want to upgrade? And could this become something, I mean, not that these, I mean, obviously, if people who are disabled need to have access to buildings, but could some of this get so onerous that that it might actually affect the value of property?
You know, it might, and I should say we've seen this before when, you know, previous rules of this nature for disabled were enacted, and some did hold off. It might have some effect.
So, folks, if you're in the process of buying or building or renovating a commercial building, something where public access, as Jim says,
right.
would be, you know, you can't be obtuse about this. You can't be ignorant about some of these things that the government is proposing. And I think one of the ways to do that, this might be a good time when an architect earns his or her money.
Oh yeah, they do a lot, and they're really knowledgeable. At least they should be. They have to be about ADA rules,
right?
Because you can get in a lot of trouble. And not only that, if you build a facility and it's not up to spec, that's a lot of money to retrofit it.
So, Jim, let's move over and talk a little bit about politics. John McCain was renominated for his party in Arizona.
Right.
And our friend Bill McCollum, who was the very first politician on our show back in 97, December of 97, Bill McCollum from Florida, he was actually a congressman from Florida at the time, now the attorney general, wanting to be governor, he lost.
Well, he did.
But you guys missed that prediction there, Jim. I hate to tell you.
Yeah, that's what the Kiplinger letter said the other week.
He thought he was going to win. And you know what? I think everybody else thought he was going to win.
Yeah, I think.
I mean, that was a big surprise, wasn't it?
It was a surprise, and again, you know, there was some here like McCain people thought he might not make it, might be overturned,
right?
But he prevailed. But there were surprises over here, and I got to say, that's why anyone who says they can tell you right now what's going to happen in November is lying.
Well, there's a surprise about to happen, possibly in Alaska. The sitting Republican senator is a toss up vote up there, and I mean this is another example of anti-incumbency, Jim.
Well, yeah, and I'm saying, you know, don't say, oh well, Democrats are doomed.
It's not just the Democrats.
It's anyone who has some good incumbency long incumbency, and they can be a danger.
That's exactly right. It's going to be, if you love politics, this is going to be an interesting election, isn't it?
Wonderful season. Wonderful
hey, Jim,
season.
Thanks for being here. Good job today.
Thank you, Jim.
We'll see you next time.
Have
Jim Ostroff, ladies and gentlemen, with Kiplinger Editors. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you, never be afraid to try something new. Amateurs built the Ark. Professionals built the Titanic.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.